The power of the risen one. to soften my heart. Break me apart, I need you to pierce through the dark and cleanse every part of me. Cause all I am, I surrender. Give me faith to trust what you say, that you're good and your love is great. Your spirit strong in me. My flesh may fail, but my God, you never will. My faith may be, but your spirit strong in me. My flesh may fail, but my God, you never will. You
says, as far as the east is from the west, he has removed our transgressions from us. Are you glad today that he has removed your transgressions? He has removed our transgressions. Do you know how far the east is from the west? It's an infinite distance. And Lamentations 3 says his mercies are new every morning, not some mornings, not on Tuesdays and Wednesdays and Thursdays, but on every single day of the week. Every morning, his mercies are new. And the Bible says, come on, give him praise. The Bible says if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. He is faithful and just because of what he did on the cross. He paid the penalty. He paid the price. There is nothing that you owe him any longer. There is nothing that you could ever do to earn that salvation. He's paid it already. He's done it. And he is faithful. Every single time we come to him, he forgives us. There's nothing we could do that is greater than the mercy he gives us every single morning. We're getting ready to sing this chorus again. And I want you to go ahead and just close your eyes. And I want you to lift your hands to him. And imagine the embrace of the Father. Even as a child reaches up to the parent, feel him embrace you right now. And I challenge you to begin to confess to him your sins. Go ahead, right now, right where you are, begin to confess your sins to him. Begin to repent of those things that you know are not right. And know that God forgives you. As far as the east is from the west, he removes our transgressions. Hallelujah. He's done it.
I am washed by the blood of the Lamb. I am washed by the blood of the Lamb. By your stripes, I'm closer than I have ever been.
still for a moment in His presence. Just be still. Sacrifice, we are made clean. I thank you for the fresh start today. Lord, I thank you for the one who needed to know that today they have a clean slate. Father, I bless your people. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Give God a hand of praise. Hallelujah. You can be seated. Welcome to Carpenter Shop International Church. We're glad you're here. If you're tuning in online, thank you for joining us. If this is your first time with us, we invite you to step into the foyer after the service and stop by the Welcome Center. We'd like to give you a personal welcome to Carpenter Shop International Church. At this time, we're going to continue to worship the Lord with our tithes and our offerings. There are several ways to give. You can do so by text. You can do so on our My Church app. You can also do that on our website. If you're writing a check, please write your email in the memo line so that we can send you a giving receipt. And if you're in the building, we invite you to come forward and drop your offering in the bucket. If you're giving online, just click the link in the comment section or in the description box. God bless you as you give.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Pastor Noli. Thank you, worship team, for leading us into the presence of God. Come on, give them a hand today. Praise the Lord. You know, there's sometimes those moments when you just know that God is doing some incredible things. And as I was standing there just worshiping with you, you could just feel the weight of what God was doing, not weight in a negative way, just the intensity of what God is doing in the supernatural. Such an amazing thing. You know, the enemy would love to just make you feel guilty. Come on now. I'm tempted to just preach in a different direction today, but I'm not. But the enemy would just love to make you feel guilty and dirty. Amen. And I shared with someone just this past week, it's not based on what you do. It's based on what he did. Amen. Amen. And so we need a fresh reminder. That scripture that Pastor Noli just washed over you just a moment ago was just an amazing reminder that it's really not about what we do. It's about what he did. Amen. And you know, we have to balance in our lives. We have to balance that out. Paul comes back in Romans and he says, what shall we say then? Chapter 6, I believe. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? No, God forbid. You don't, just because you say, you know, it's not, the hymn doesn't go, I once was lost in sin, here I go again. That's not the way it goes. You know, I once was lost in sin, but Jesus took me in. And then a light from heaven filled my soul, you know. So things should be different if we come to Christ. And we should not intentionally use God as a grace card, you know, just a license. You know, when you pull over, how many of y'all have had to pull over like me before? Pull over, and you produce what? A license to prove that you have the capability to drive on the highways of North Carolina. You don't produce this grace card as a, well, you know, I got the card, you know. I get to sin because I got the card. No. To him that knows to do right, but rather chooses to do what? Wrong. To him, what is that? That's sin. That's sin. So we need to be careful. Make sure we live a life with an awareness that his grace is sufficient. And when we do sin, we have an advocate. Come on. With the Father, Jesus Christ, the Holy One, the Righteous One. That's a great reminder today. I'm thankful for his grace and his mercy. Just a blessing today just to be in the house of the Lord. Praise God. It's a blessing to shop from home. Come on, somebody. Just Target.com, Amazon.com. Did Christmas shopping. Never got in the line. Praise the Lord. God's doing some incredible things. And I thank the Lord for what he's doing. I'm blessed today. I see one of my friends in the ministry here, and he shares a commonality with me in that he served in his church for 28 years. That's a long time, isn't it? He told me yesterday, he said, well, you got me beat, man, 29. But Pastor Leo Bracken is here. Pastor Leo, would you just stand and just wave? Praise the Lord. So glad. So glad for his life and his leadership. And he pastors in a unique city. And the reason it's unique is because the name of the city that he pastors in is Wallace, North Carolina. Come on. Thank you for your service there. So many years, just steadfast. And I love it when people come to Barnabas House. And our Barnabas House is shut down right now because of renovations. We're on the home stretch, man. We're looking at flooring going down this week, and then it's upfitting with furniture and that kind of thing. But we do have a reserve. We've got a tiny apartment that has just been a blessing already. We've just opened that up, and he's chosen to just come and just say, you know what, I need to lay before the Lord for a few days and get a download for 2021. Come on. Can you commend a pastor for wanting to hear from the Lord? What are you saying in 2021? So would you, with me this morning, would you just stretch your hand out to Leo Bracken? Praise the Lord. And Lord, right now, matter of fact, Pastor Bernie, Pastor Mike, a couple of you guys, if you would, just lay your hands on him. Just want to believe God with you that this season, this few days, this sabbatical time that you have selected and sliced out on the calendar to say, Lord, I want you to speak to me. Father, I'm just praying right now for supernatural download. Lord, deposit into Leo Bracken, God, that which you desire for him, for his life, for his family, for his church, for the place where you signed him, Lord, for 28 years. Would you give unto him clarity? We come against the voices of the evil one that would block or hinder. And we thank you, God, that you're speaking to people today still, giving direction, giving vision, giving insight. And I bless him today in Jesus' strong name. Come on, give thanks for the man of God today, would you? Hallelujah. Pastor Leo, I thank you for your steadfast leadership all these years. You served in the higher leadership of our district for a number of years, and we appreciate your service. We really do. Also, if you're interested in serving, speaking of serving, we need help in the kids department. We need to add two or three more workers. People are coming back. The sizes are picking up a little bit. So if you are willing to serve in the kids ministry, would you see Jonathan? Jonathan, raise up your hand there. Jonathan is going to be in the foyer at the close of the service. You'll recognize him easy because he's the only one that drives his truck right into the church. Come on. All right? He's got his vehicle with him. So now don't you get thinking that you can do that and try to drive yours in here, dude. We're going to have trouble. All right. But see him at the close of the service, and he will assist you in signing up to volunteer. I'm enjoying the series that we're in for this season. I'm not a pastor who's threatened by holidays and feel like you got to preach on turkey last week and stuff like that. I'm staying focused. And I believe the Lord wants to speak through this message today. I know he does. I know he does. I know he wants to speak through this message today. We're in a series that we've called Enjoying Life. And today we want to talk about a biblical strategy for less stress. How timely this is. I didn't look at the calendar. But how timely this is that this would fall right on between Black Friday and Cyber Monday. Come on. Did you know, listen, watching the news just this week, did you know that Pastor Joy called this to my attention, that we broke all records for shopping on Black Friday? All records broken. More money ever spent than spent. 2020, come on. COVID, come on. More money that's ever been spent in a shopping season on Black Friday. That's absolutely incredible. I wonder if you put as much in the plate this morning as you did Black Friday. Come on. Amen. I wonder if you said, Lord, I just want to bless you. I want to bless you for what you've done for me. Or I wonder if some of you spent your tithe. That's really not my business, but I just thought I'd throw it in there as extra. Come on. Amen. We're talking about the biblical strategy for less stress. Praise the Lord. Philippians chapter 4. All these messages are coming from Philippians. Great book. Great book. The subject matter and the theme of the whole book is joy. J-O-Y. Philippians 4, 4 to 8. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. And I rejoice that you're here today, and I rejoice that we have a tremendous online audience that's joining us right now. I looked at, before I stepped up here, and saw folks that I thought, wow, didn't know he was watching. But we appreciate that online audience. Thank you guys for joining us. He says, I will say it again, rejoice. There's like an exclamation part there. Let your gentleness be evident to all. Check that out now. Let your gentleness be evident to all. Have you ever looked at somebody and thought, you know what? How come they're not upset? I mean, come on, have you ever? How come they're not shaken? You know? How come they're not scared? Come on, this is getting close to home here. How come they're not affected? Let your gentleness be evident to all. Why? Because the Lord is near. The Lord is near. And do not be anxious about anything, but in everything. Somebody say everything. Everything. By prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Amen. And the peace of God, I love the way these verses just build. They're the result of verse 6. And the peace of God comes, which really transcends all your understanding, and it does what else? Guards your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, this is Pastor Joy's favorite verse of all the Bible. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. In Philippians 4, Paul comes back to his theme about being happy in this life, being joyful in this life, enjoying the journey with a sense of joy, a sense of deep peace in your life. Verse 4, he says, rejoice in the Lord always, and I will say it again, rejoice. I like the Message translation of this verse. It says, I love it, it says, celebrate the Lord all day, every day. Come on. I love that translation. Celebrate the Lord all day, every day. Come on, somebody say every day. You got to be in the South, you can say every day. Amen. Every day. Celebrate the Lord every day. And is it possible to be continually joyful? And the answer is absolutely yes. Most people really don't enjoy life. They endure it. Their lives are filled with anxiety, stress. Can you imagine the number of people that are watching me, the number of people that are listening this morning? Can you imagine the number of people that are even here in this building? That if we were to get a hold of your prescriptions, some of you are on anxiety medication. Well, you know, it just helps me. Well, I'm not the doctor, but I know what the Bible says, okay? I'm not the doctor, but I know what the Bible says. A fellow told me just a couple of weeks ago, he said, well, every night, I had made a compliment to him about, you know, I said, man, with your age and everything, and he was considerably older than me, I had made a compliment to him. I said, you just seem like everything is just, you know, you work hard, you push forward, and you just seem like everything is just kind of chill. He said, man, every night when I get home, I thought, where are we going here? He said, every night when I get home, he said, I fix the same drink every night. And he commenced to tell me what he looked for settle at the end of the day. He said, I'll tell you what it is, like I wanted it. You know, I don't need it, okay? But he told me what he was using, brandy, okay? If I hit one of your faves, just raise your hand, okay? All right. He said, brandy, and then he gave me some concoction, and I guess I wasn't listening intentionally, so we just changed the subject. But can you imagine that for him, he was looking at that as, he was all like, you're inquiring, so I'm going to tell you how I'm peaceful. I take an edge off every evening, okay? You know, that's dangerous. That's dangerous because what if you get to a place where it doesn't take the edge off, so you up it, okay? And then that works for a while, but then that doesn't work, so you up it again. Well, Pastor, I'm not one of those people. Okay, I can handle my juice. Okay, come on, guys. Come on. The Bible gives us clear indication that Jesus is enough. It just gives us clear indication. But seek ye first, Jesus said himself, 6:33 of Matthew's gospel. But seek ye first the kingdom of God, and everything else will work. That's the Phillips translation. Not J.B., Wallace, okay? We'll get to J.B.'s in a minute. Some of y'all don't know what that means. Just study the Bible more and you'll figure it out. But you must understand that most people turn to other things. And if we looked around and started saying, you know, some of you would not want us into your private world because you'd be ashamed. If you, oh, I don't want them to see that because that's what I use. I'm on all kinds of medication. And then that's not working because there's no joy there. Think about it. People right now are in one of the most stressful times that they could ever be in. COVID is taking place. And if you listen, I checked out on those news stations a long time ago. You know, I watch Newsmax or listen or go specifically to where I want to go because most of those guys have jumped ship. And they're going to tell you every night, What a nightmare we're living in on this earth. It's getting worse and worse. Everybody's going to tell you the bad news every night. They come on. I like the way they do it in the background. I used to watch David Muir. You know, tonight on, you know they got the stuff. Oh, you're building up here. It's bad news. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes. We're going to give you all the reason why you should be scared to death. That's not what this Bible says. Okay? This Bible declares good news and hope and peace beyond all the stuff in the world. We can have a resolve. We can have that thing that Paul talked about a moment ago. Let your gentleness be apparent and evident to everybody. In the midst of the hardest times, I never thought I'd be alive during this season. I never thought I'd be alive on planet Earth and see what I'm seeing going on right now. And you're going to get some shocking things. Hang on to your seatbelt. In the next few weeks, you know, as we turn the corner, it's going to be a shocking ride. You ever been on that roller coaster? Click, 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 click. Then you get to the top of it, and you're in the seat with somebody else. You say, oh, here we go. Whoosh. That's where you're going. That's where we're going here in just a few weeks. Some of y'all are looking at me strange. You got inside information? Yes. In the Bible, okay? In the Bible. And there's going to be some things that are going to shock you, okay? You ain't seen nothing yet, honey. You ain't seen a thing. But that's the reason why you need to live your life and manage your life with the least possible stress that you can and follow this biblical prescription. Paul, I'm extracting four things that Paul says from this passage. The first thing he says is, you don't worry about anything. Number one, worry about nothing. Worry about nothing. How many of y'all have in your family some real serious chronic worriers? Just raise your hand. You know who I'm talking about? Come on. I have some in my family, not going to call their names, because some of them are watching me, okay? But I'm not going to call their names, but I know because I know because I know they just worry all the time. Don't worry. The Bible says we should not worry. In fact, let me go a little farther. If the Bible says worry about nothing, then what is it if you do worry? It's a sin. I'm glad one person believes that in this room. It's a sin. It's a sin. It's a sin to worry because the Bible commands not to do it. Don't be anxious about anything. Do not fret, the Amplified Bible says, or have any. Any is what? It's any. It's any small amount. Don't fret or have any anxiety. King James says, be careful for nothing. Worry is a killjoy. It's a source of stress. We tend to expect the worst in life. Smithsonian Magazine calls this age the age of anxiety. Think about it. The age of anxiety. Worry is assuming responsibility for something that God never wanted to place on you. You shouldn't have to carry this. You shouldn't have to carry it. Dr. Walter Calvert has done studies on worry, and he discovered this. 40% of any worry that crosses your mind never comes to pass. It doesn't happen. He said in his further studies, he said that only about 8% of worry has any legitimacy to it at all. Because if you were to factor it out, you're wasting your mental energy. You're wasting the anguish. You're wasting the time. Worry is worthless. It can't change the past, and worry cannot control the future. It only messes up the right now, the way you feel. It's an incredible waste of energy. It's an incredible waste. It's stewing over something without doing anything about it. It is a waste of your creative juices that God has planted inside of you on how you're going to handle this. It's a waste. And the Bible says, do not worry about anything. This is probably the hardest command to obey. Some people are born worriers. They look at the negative. Some people, I don't care what you do, they're going to come up with the glass is half empty. Never could see it as half full. Never could see it. I've been in situations with people and I've tried to say, hey, why don't you give me a picture? Help me understand where you are. And they would explain to me what's going on. You know, maybe it was a financial issue. I remember one in my mind this morning that I was talking to a person and I said, tell me, you know, what? I'm worried about this bill. Well, tell me where you are if you don't mind. Tell me where you are. And they didn't want to produce that. I said, come on, man, tell me exactly where you are. Let me see your checkbook. I'm going to help you here. And they produced the checkbook, and they had in the checkbook present time 4 times the amount of what the bill was that they were worried about. 4 times. 4 times the amount. And when do you get paid next? Get paid 3 days from now. All your bills paid. Yes, except this one. And you're worried about one bill that you have 4 times the amount in your bank account to take care of that one bill right now, and you're getting ready to get a drop into your direct deposit in 3 days. I can't change that for anybody. That's an issue that you have to deal with, here we go, internally. It has to be dealt with internally. Now, how many of you have seen God do amazing things when you didn't have double digits in your bank account? Come on. Come on, God just opened up the windows of heaven and you're on the other side walking on dry ground when you thought you were going to drown. God just supernaturally opens it. Yes, he does. And those things just, man, they just ignite your faith. They just send your faith in the roof. And then you say, God, please forgive me. I should have trusted you. I know your name is Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides. He says, don't worry about anything. Jesus said this in Matthew 6, verse 6, that is something you learn. He said, you have to practice at it to get good at it. How do you practice? Here's how you practice. Matthew 6:6, Jesus said this, "But when you pray, go into your room." Now, this is not literal. "But when you go to the Lord in prayer, seclude yourself in the spirit." Let's just say it that way. That you've blocked out any distractions in the supernatural world. And you are in the zone with Jesus. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Because you know what? I don't get in my house in the corner somewhere. Pastor Joy can tell you, she's lived with me almost 40 years. "Well, he's up in his prayer room." No. I don't have this little spot that I have to be in that spot, because guess what? The way my days go, I'd never get in that spot. But I know what it takes to get into the zone. Okay? Oh, I do have some places that are pleasant and meaningful that I like to be. But it's not the same place all the time. But I know how to get in the zone with God. I know how to shut off the other things, and so I can hear the Lord. And he says, when you pray, you go into that place, you get into that zone, and you shut the door, and you spend your time with the Father. This is what Jesus said. Who's unseen? He said, look, Luke 5:16. But Jesus did what? Often removed himself to lonely places. If you look at this passage in context, Jesus has just healed a man with leprosy, the most dreaded disease. And Luke chapter 5 says that the crowds are coming. Everybody's just bombarding him. Everybody wants to get in the prayer line. The Bible says, but Jesus often withdrew himself to the closet. You see, Jesus isn't telling you in Matthew 6 to do something that he's not all too familiar with, because he knew what it was like to spend time alone with the Father. And so he says, listen, this is what you need to do. You need, when you pray, go into that place, get into that zone, shut that door, pray to your Father who's unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will bring his reward to you. He will give you the what? The peace, the gentleness, the self-control, the contentment. Maybe that's what you need, contentment. God will give everything to you that you need. Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. Jesus is saying, rather than worry, get alone with the Lord. You know what the old timers used to say? They used to talk about praying through. Anybody ever know what I'm talking about here? Praying through. You know, we don't see a whole lot of that anymore. I mean, just praying, come on now, praying until what? Until you come to a place where you are at peace. That's what we need to do. We need to give this to the Lord consistently, over and over again. It might take you 30 minutes. It might take you, and I challenge you, listen, praying is hard work. Praying in the Spirit is hard work. You say, oh, it's not for me, man. I pray in the Holy Ghost. Let me challenge you. You get into a room by yourself, nobody else around, and you just write the time down, okay? Just write the time down. Well, I'm going to go up here, like Pastor said, it's 11:05. I'm going to go up here and pray. And I challenge you to pray in the Holy Ghost for 10 minutes. That will be the hardest thing that some of you have ever done. You say, man, I know I'm done gone 10 minutes and I'm praying in the Spirit and God's given me new language here. I'm flooded my soul with his presence and I'm just thinking about that song we sang Sunday. I'm washed in the blood of the Lamb and all of a sudden I'm praying in the Holy Spirit and, oh, thank you, Lord, I feel better. And you pick up your phone and it's 11:07, okay? Pray in the Holy Spirit for about 10 minutes. It's hard. It's hard because you are built to get distracted. Now, some of y'all try that and let me know how that works for you this week. It'll be a challenge, I promise you. Jesus said this. He said in chapter 6, verse 34, he said, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Look at what he says here. Each day has enough troubles of its own. Man, have you ever been in a place where sometimes I don't want to think about tomorrow, man? Today is rough enough, okay? Don't want to even think about tomorrow. My wife and I sometimes will, you know, we always have these little debriefing meetings every day. So how was your day? Oh, yeah, it was good, good. Most of the time we do it on the phone on the way home. It was good, good. Sometimes, though, I'll just be honest with you. Sometimes, how was your day? And one of us will say, man, if tomorrow's going to be anything like this one, I'm just wanting to check out. Anybody ever done that? Come on. So Jesus says, listen, don't even think about tomorrow. Okay? You stay focused on today, all right? Because you don't want to inquire about tomorrow. And guess what? You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow anyway, any more than I do. So why would you even worry about it? Okay? So he says, worry about what? Nothing. And then secondly, he says, pray about everything. Pray about everything. Whenever God tells you to eliminate something, he said, don't worry. He's not going to tell you to eliminate something and not give you a divine replacement for it. He says, let me give you something that is better to take the place of worry, to take the place of the negative with a positive thing. In the second part of verse 6, he says, in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Paul is saying, don't panic, pray. If you stop worrying, you'd realize how much free time you have. Pray during that time, in everything. Some people think that God is only interested in you praying about spiritual matters. Did you know that God wants you to pray about everything? About everything. A petition, he says, with petition. A petition is a specific, detailed request. Amen? Some of you are praying for that right spouse in your life. Some of y'all are single here. You're praying, you know, God, don't just pray. You know, God, give me a husband. Man, better be specific, okay? Because you know what? He can give you one fast, okay? But if you don't have anything on your shopping list, hey, then don't be concerned if what shows up and you fall in love with, you say 5 years later, what was I thinking? Okay. I should have prayed. I should have done like the pastor said. I didn't ask for this. And listen, if you sit there and think that you're going to get someone like you, God has a tremendous sense of humor. He loves to double cross his children. Okay? You are not going to get somebody like you. You're going to more than likely end up divinely matched with somebody who is so the other way. Okay? And guess what happened? I love this. This is what God has done in Pastor Joy in my life. We are so different. Okay? We are so different. But what he's done is he spent the last 39 years just stirring us together, stirring us together, stirring us together. That we're just a good mixture. Amen? And the stuff that you argue about in those early years, you come to discover that it won't even worth the fuss. It's not. Because God is making a mixture, okay? And the things that I knew, I found out about her that I had never heard of before. I never ate a taco until I met her, okay? I never knew what a taco was. Well, I grew up with a very limited choice and diet. We grew up, my grandfather had a country store at the end of the street, and we had the same diet over and over and over again all the time. It was the same thing, okay? As you say, well, you're talking about your mama. It was what she knew. Okay? It was what she knew. But when I met her, I got this. Amen? Because she knew how to cook. And guess what? You say, well, man, I can't believe he said that. She can cook circles around my mama. Okay? Anybody else dare to even raise your hand and say that? She can just outcook my mama. And so I started eating things that I didn't even know existed. And I was like, I got the spirit of Pac-Man. And this is what I got. Amen. No, I've always been big boned. That's a good way to say it. Come on. Amen. But you need to be specific here. If you're single and you're asking the Lord for a mate, Just give the Lord what you're looking for. Now this, don't be careful now. Y'all be careful. Don't put God in a box, okay? And you know, he was supposed to have red hair. No, don't put him in a box, okay? But just learn to hear what God is saying to you and start telling God, God, I'm looking for someone. If you start looking for your shopping list on your mate, you need to just scratch all the physical stuff anyway. Okay? Do you want a man, or do you, if you're a woman, do you want a man who has a tremendous deep sense of fear for God? Or as long as you get someone with brown hair and blue eyes, you'll be tickled to death, okay? No. Okay? I've said this before. Listen, does he just need to be just like you, right down to the skin, or maybe slightly different, okay? Had you rather have a godly man with darker skin or lighter skin, or just, you know, as long as he's just like me, okay? Don't put God in a box. But learn. He says, with your petitions. And so God's looking for you to give him some specifics in your prayer life. That's all I'm saying. Some specifics. A detailed request. You know, I don't go this far, but I remember, Joy, you remember Mama Jane years ago, Allison's mother. She said, when I go shopping, I'm standing at the rack. And I just say, Lord, do you want me to get this one or this one? Come on, just grab one, okay? Do you like it? Then you can buy it. No, I might not get that specific. But listen, if that's what worked for her, then that's what she needs to do. If she feels that committed to petition, then that's what she needs to do. Find where you and God have an understanding and give him your petitions. Give him your petitions with a sense of confidence. J.B. Phillips translates this verse this way. When you pray, tell God every detail of your life. That's what he said. He also added this. If it's big enough to worry about, it's big enough to give a petition about. Okay? 1 Peter 5:7, this is what Peter says. He says, cast all your cares upon him because he cares for you. One translation says this, unload all your worries on him since he's the one looking after you. It zeroes in on the imagery that Peter is using here. Peter is using imagery of a garbage truck. And has you ever been at the trash pile, someone helping you, and you're standing there, they're backing the truck up, you know, it's giving you the rear view beep, and come on, 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 come on. Hop, ho, right there, and then you do what? Hit it. And then the truck goes, and it gets to a fulcrum point, and what happens to everything on the truck? It slides off. And then the driver moves forward. Some of you country boys know what I'm talking about. Move forward and just hit that lever a little bit and shake that thing, and everything gets out of the truck. You hit that hydraulic lever a little bit. Just shake that body, and everything slides out. That's what Peter's saying. He's saying, listen, you take all your cares, and you hit the lever on God. Everything. Give it all to him, okay? The scriptures are calling on us to take every problem to the Lord. The gospel writers have Jesus praying to the Father as he faced Calvary. And you know what the gospel writers have Jesus doing? The Bible says that he sweat as if drops of blood were falling to the ground. You said, I thought you didn't want us to be anxious. It sounds like Jesus is anxious. No, Jesus is doing what he told you to do. He's in the private place with the Father, and he's going to take it all the way till he's sweating like drops of blood. And then the Bible says what? Right after that, it says this. It says, and following that, it says, and angels came and ministered to him. Listen, don't get up too early. Some of y'all don't get that lightning bolt answer too quickly, and you prematurely get out of the prayer place, and you just go right on back. You say, I'll just carry it myself. No. Stay in there in that place of solitude with God. Stay there until you've reached that place where you're peaceful with God. God will send his ministering spirits. I love that song, Blessed Assurance. You know the hymn? Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Here's one verse. It says, perfect submission, perfect delight. Visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Check this out. Angels descending, bring from above echoes of mercy, whispers of love. You're in a place of prayer, and God is sending those angelic spirits to minister to you and whisper his mercy to you. God will do that. A life insurance company did a study. They learned that people who attend church, you know, they ask you anything on a life insurance policy. People who attend church once a week live almost 6 years longer than the general public who don't go to worship services. Think about that. A major life insurance company did a study. Almost 6 years longer people live than folks who don't go to church. That's amazing. Why? Perhaps people who attend church every week are more likely to pray. They're more likely to receive instruction like this. Worry destroys your system. Worry brings you stress. You know, listen, sometimes Pastor Joy and I would just sit. We're at the stage in our life where sometimes we just like to sit. Okay, come on, y'all know what I'm talking about? Just sit. We're just sitting there. And sometimes she'll make a comment. That's just beautiful. And I'll say, what? And she'll say, look out there. This morning she said, are those birds real? She was so amazed at God's creation. She said, look, is that real? I said, yes. And I told her the species of the bird. I said, isn't that amazing? She said, I couldn't tell really, you know, is that really what I think it is? Yes. And you listen, you say, well, yeah, but you live on the water. No, listen. You live where God wants you to live. Okay? And listen, Dawn Lee, how many of y'all know Mother Dawn Lee? Mother Dawn Lee, she's had her Christmas tree up for 35 years, okay? And it's in the same place. She never moves it, never takes it down. And I love to go to her house because when you go to her house, there's not a house anywhere else like it. It's in the woods. And sometimes you have to park out near the road and walk your way through because you better not drive up there. You might need a four-wheeler to get you out of there, okay? And she's happy with that. Sometimes she has to park out there and walk up. But she says to me so many times, Pastor, it may not be anything to anybody else, but she said, this is my place that God has given me. And she loved it. She loved it. And she said, you know what I've noticed? She said, coffee tastes better right here than any coffee shop I've ever been to. My coffee's better than anybody's. Amen? What you drink? Maxwell House? Oh, come on. Amen? I'm spoiled. We fly our coffee in from somewhere else. But it's the point. She's come to the place where she knows what it is. She don't live on the water. You say, well, yeah, you live there. No, it's not about where. It's about where. This is about where, right here, okay? Amen? Because if you checked my track record on everywhere else I lived, I did some sacrificial living. I did. I told a brother the other day, he said, well, have y'all always lived here? I said, no. Man, I said, when I, 14 by 70, $4,000 paid for my first house, hand shaking when I signed for it. 14 by 70. My wife says, you reckon that, does that leak right there? And I said, no, it don't leak. He's a Christian. It doesn't leak. And we used like 3 55-gallon trash cans the first rainstorm we had to catch the water coming through the kitchen. But I got a house for $4,000, praise God. So, you know, we lived very differently for a long, long time. Sacrificially. But God, okay? But God, who, he'll pay you back, folks. He will. James tells us this. You have not because you ask not. I just told you to write your petition, okay? Write your petition. Now, I'm not one of these theological guys that just says, you know, blab it, grab it, confess it, possess it. You know, I'm not one of those that's off out there where you just pray crazy stuff and then get upset with God if he don't give it to you. Okay? No, we have balance here. Okay? You have balance here. But listen, some things God wants you to have. Okay? God wants you to live well. Okay? He does. He wants you to live well. And if you need to be living better than what you are, then tell God. Don't complain to everybody else. Just say, Lord, a pastor told me Sunday I need to make some petitions, so here's what I want to ask you for. And I promise you, God will do exceedingly abundantly above all that you could ask or think. You know, talk to people who've lived and walked this journey for a long time. I remember talking to Aubrey Morris. They're back from Florida here. We're so glad you're back from Florida. We love it when you're in North Carolina. And I remember Aubrey telling me about all of the things that God has done in he and Lynn's life that really they don't have the credential for, but longevity put them in that place. Amen? We didn't really have exactly, maybe some people can call it grandfathered in. Listen, doesn't matter what God does. He can call me grandpapa all you want to, you know, getting it into, doesn't matter. God saw fit, okay? And who was faithful? Yeah, Aubrey and Lynn were faithful. But guess who else was faithful? God was faithful. Because there's some companies that would have said, nah, we need to hire somebody else. Scratch it. He don't have exactly the certificate we're looking for. How many of you are getting things that you didn't deserve besides me? Come on. I'm getting things that I really don't deserve from the Lord. So God loves his children. And he doesn't want you worrying. Amen? So what do you do? You do the first two things that I shared with you. What were they? Let's go back. Number one was you don't worry about anything. Number two was you pray about everything. Number three is you thank God for what? For everything, for all things. You thank him for all things. Verse 6, in everything with thanksgiving. Everything. That's how you make your request to God. Good News Translation says this, always asking him with a thankful heart. The healthiest human emotion is gratitude. The healthiest human emotion is gratitude, being thankful. Amen? Having a grateful heart. Scientists have actually stated that it increases your immunity level. If you have a healthy outlook, it increases your immunity level. It is a physical benefit to express an attitude of gratitude. I remember being, you've heard me say this before, I'm sure. I remember being in a shopping line, you know, and listen, folks get irate, man, in the shopping line. Have you ever noticed that? They get crazy in a shopping line. I don't know, just start spitting and sputtering. They need to open up another register. You know, come on, how many of you have heard somebody say that? I don't know what's going on here. They need to open a register. And I was just standing there one day, and I was just thinking. And I wasn't upset. I was just breathing. And I just said, thank you, Lord. I've been going all day long. It feels so good just to stand in this line. And while mom over here is just having berserk, you know, she's going berserk and spitting. Don't spit COVID on me, man. Come on. You know, you're just going berserk over there. Somebody needs to open a register. Chill out. Just sometimes allow God to bring you into a rest area. If for you, listen, you're busy if you're thanking God for a long cashier line. Come on. But sometimes I've been thankful for a long cashier line. Amen? If you're depressed, make a list of 50 things that you are grateful for. 50 things. Just start writing down things you're grateful for. When you're grateful, it takes the focus off of your issues. It takes the focus off of your problems. And you start writing out the benefits that God has given you. Lord, I'm just thankful that I'm healthy today. I thank you, Lord, that you've spared me from this virus. God, I thank you that we have a home. I thank you, God, that my light bill's paid, my insurance is paid. I thank you, Lord, that you know, I was thinking, I told Joy yesterday, I got in my truck and we took off to Norfolk. And I cranked up my truck, and I just hadn't noticed it in a while. And the digits on my speedometer flashed before my eyes. I said, good gracious. She said, what? I said, I got 187,000 miles on this truck. My truck looks good. Okay? I stepped back, didn't buy a brand new one, stepped back a year, bought one with 29,000 miles on it, saved a lot of money. And I just said, I followed it with this. I said, man, 187,000 miles. Man, this truck has been good to me. It's Ford. Okay. Okay. It's a Ford. Come on, somebody. Didn't you feel the Holy Ghost when I said that? It's a Ford. It's built Ford tough. But I just said, Lord, I just thank you that 187,000 miles, I don't have no trouble with it. Amen? I don't have no trouble with it. My brakes are calling for me to go to the shop. I'm going to do that this week. I got a little squeak the other day when I hit the pedal. But it's nothing wrong with it. So thankful to have a nice truck with 187,000 miles on it. Ain't time for you to trade it. You ought to be driving something better than that. Why? What's the reason? Give me one good reason why I need a different one. This one's nice, okay? I look smaller in it. It's black, okay? Amen? I was always taught if you want to look skinnier, wear black. Is it working? I'm just asking you. Come on. Okay. So write down things that you're thankful for. Thankful for my wife. Thankful for my children. I'm thankful for FaceTime. Come on. I'm thankful for Marco Polo. Come on, somebody. Thankful for Marco Polo. Just thankful for things like that that can put us up close and personal when we really can't be. Amen. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Give thanks in all circumstances. I love this. For this is God's will for you. Just be thankful. Well, Pastor, you don't know what we're going through. Lord, I just thank you. Thank you, God, that you're watching over us. I thank you that we had Mama all these years. I just thank you that you sustained us, God. I thank you that she knew you and that she's in heaven today. You can be thankful still. Don't let it make you angry. Okay? One part of God's will for your life is in everything give thanks. Begin to thank him. Lord, I thank you that I'm healthy. Lord, I thank you that I'm healed. I thank you, God, that you gave me breath in my body on this day. I thank you that I can move. You've given me the functioning of my limbs. I thank you that I can speak. And I thank you, Lord, that I can still hear. And I thank you that I can still taste fried chicken. If this preacher will ever stop talking, I'm going to get me some. Just thank him. Be thankful. Amen? Be thankful. You know, I've heard the church criticize the African-American church for, oh, I just thank you that he woke me up and the blood's running warm in my veins. Listen to what they pray. Thanking God for the basics of life. Just go through the basics. My limbs are functioning. God's happier with that than he is. Well, just, Lord, I just ask your blessing. What? I just ask you to bless me. That's pretty vague. God wants to know how do you define blessing? Okay? I'm sitting here looking. I see Pastor Mike. Pastor Mike drives a certain vehicle, okay? And he goes shopping for this vehicle all over everywhere. Keeps his eyes open, Craigslist, different forums that have them for sale, because he has had the best performance on this vehicle. And his choice, model, and year. Now, he's going to say this out here in just a second, and some of you are going to think, what? Why don't you get you a new one? Pastor Mike, tell these guys, if you could have any vehicle that you could have right now, just what you wanted, what would you order?
93 and 99 Suburban.
1993 to 1999 Suburbans. If you have one and you're listening to Carpenter Shop International Church and you're willing to sell it, pray about giving it away, okay? I know you thought I was going to say call us, but pray about giving it away. 93 to 97 Chevrolet Suburbans. That's his choice. All right? Lord, I'm thankful for my 93 to 97 Suburban. If that's where you are and that's what God wants for you, then that's the best place you can be, okay? That's the best place you can be. Fourthly and finally, think about the right things. To reduce stress in your life, you got to change the way you think. Amen? Proverbs says, guard the heart, for out of it, what happens? Flows the issues of life. So you need to guard it. And your heart is all wrapped up in your mind, your will, and your volition, your soul. It's all about your soul. To reduce the stress in your life, you've got to change the way you think. The stress is in you, not outside of you. Okay? So, you know, there's been times that we've gone through things that I know we should have probably been coming unglued. When we had this deep, settled peace. That you know what? God's in control. God's in control. And you know what? He's working in my behalf. He always is, okay? Have you ever had some little thing that just happened and you just made a mountain out of a molehill? You just blew up. Come on. You just made it all bigger than it really is, okay? Usually what I've discovered, I'm going to help y'all here a little bit. Usually what I've discovered is those things are usually tied back. If you start pulling the string back and saying, where's this thing connected? It's most often connected in the relational category. You can get really unglued when it comes to things that are attached to relationships. Husband, wife. Husband, kids. Mom, son. Mom, daughter. Boyfriend, girlfriend. Come on. It's a relational thing. Husband, mother-in-law. Somebody told me the other day a mother-in-law joke. I'm not going to share it. But when he shared it, he just busted out. You know, and I was just standing there, and he was like, don't you get it? And I just stood there for a second. I said, hang on. I said, my mother-in-law was killed in a tragic automobile accident about 27 years ago, and I still miss her. I said, so excuse me, but I just didn't see it from the same perspective you did. You get that? Okay? Ring of the telephone, Wallace, you need to go pick up Joy. Joy is a student at Chowan University. First four-year class, I can walk you to her brick on the sidewalk, Chowan. Went to get her that day because on a drug deal, on a borrowed car, head-on collision, four adults died. Her mother was one of them. Mother-in-law takes on a different context for me when I lost a mother-in-law who was so proud that I was in the ministry. She was very proud that I was a pastor, and she prayed for me. So mother-in-law jokes are not really funny. Now, father-in-law jokes, come on. I'm just kidding. No, just kidding. But if you're not careful, you will despise your in-laws. Come on. If you're not careful. And I say now many times, and matter of fact, isn't it something how we think of things? I think, you know, it was yesterday, a year ago, when Joy's dad died. And we do the little colloquialisms and the little things that he said and stuff like that and things that he used to eat. They bring back precious memories. And he was my father-in-law. Okay? Let me just tell you, you need to be careful. You need to be careful. Life is short. And you need to keep your mind right so that you think about right things. Paul says, and let me remind you this as our worship team's coming back to the stage. Let me remind you this. Paul says this from a jail cell. I told Pastor Joy yesterday, I've never spent a single night in jail, okay? And I'm glad. We were talking, and I said, I've never spent a single night in jail. I deserve to. I just didn't get caught, okay? I deserved the jail, but I didn't get caught. Paul says this from jail. Finally, brothers, whatever's true, whatever's noble, whatever's right, whatever's pure, whatever's lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is praiseworthy. That's what you need to be thinking about. He wasn't sitting out there saying, I serve the Lord. Here I am stuck. Where are you, God? No. Paul is in jail. And he says, if there's anything noble, he's knowing that Nero is going to soon have his head on a chopping block. And he will be beheaded for preaching the gospel. He'll be beheaded for preaching the gospel. And he's still able to say, in everything, give thanks. Come on. God, forgive me. God, forgive me for complaining. We covered that last week. God, forgive me for not, for bringing undue stress on my life that I really didn't have to bring. Paul says, think on lovely things. You need to choose what you think about, or you can think about the right things. What we put into our minds affects our lives. The Good News Translation says, fix your mind on them, the pure, the lovely, the noble. Fix your mind on these things. Paul's saying it's deliberate. It's a conscious choice. Change the channels of your mind. When a thought comes to your mind, is this true? Is this noble? Is it right? Is it praiseworthy? Paul's also the same one that said, when thoughts come to your mind, he said, some of them you have to take them captive. You arrest them and you say, you know what? Out of here, man. You don't belong in my thought life. I take you captive. I cast you down. Amen. Proverbs 23:7, as a man thinks, so is he. So is it important the way you think? Absolutely. What dominates your mind? What do you think about the most? The root cause of stress is the way you choose to think. What is the result of Paul's admonition? Pray about everything. Worry about nothing. Thank God for everything. Think only the right things. Here's the result. Verse number 7. And the peace of God, which transcends all of my understanding, will guard your heart and your mind. You get less stress. You enjoy life more. And people look at you and say, look, man, I don't get it. He's not bothered by all this mess. I had some interesting discussion this past week with people that broke my heart, man. They were so negative. I was making calls from just while I was taking advantage of drive time. Hey, pastor here, man. You guys doing all right? Hadn't seen you, you know, since the COVID thing. And here's what I got. Fear. Worry. Wait a minute, man. Come on. I got information that I didn't want. Criticisms. Criticisms about our leadership. That's not why I called you. I called to say, I miss you. And I get all this other stuff. still love you. If you're listening to me, I still love you. And you need to put those things behind you and think about good things. Because can I just tell you the truth? What's going on right now is not going away for a while. Okay? And if you can't deal with it on this level, you're not going anywhere else. You're not having worship services. Yes, we are. Okay? On the West Coast, they're dealing with it. You can't sing. Okay? Joshua told us this week, you can't sing. You can't sing anymore in the church. Are they singing? Their leadership held a meeting, and the elders decided, we're not doing that. We're going to worship anyway. Somebody said, well, isn't that deceptive? Y'all turn your live stream on when the preaching started. He said, when you rob a bank, do you put a mask on? He said, you can call it deceptive if you want to, but we're not stopping what we're doing. We're going to keep on worshiping. Not going to be worried. Not going to be controlled. I'm going to think about the good things. Lord, I just thank you that you're still God, that you're bigger than all of this. I just wish I had some people right now to stand with me. And, you know, if you're here today and you just need to get in his presence just for a few moments, just come and stand around this altar. You can keep a distance. You don't have to snuggle up to somebody's armpit. It's okay. Just come and stand in his presence and just for a minute, just say, Lord, I'm just here to give thanks. I'm just here to thank you today, Lord. I'm just here to commit my life to you as a person who chooses from this day forward not to worry, but to think on noble things, good things, things about you, things about the kingdom, things about my family. God, thank you for my kids. Thank you for my business. Thank you for my grandchildren. Thank you for my health. Thank you for my strength. Thank you, God, that you're in control. Thank you for a positive report at the doctor last week. Thank you, God, for a positive balance in the bank account. Thank you for good investments. Thank you for returns on my money. Thank you, God, for so many things. Thank you, God. Thank you. Come on, just stand in his presence as they sing it and lift your hands. Lift your hands. Some of you may need to do business with the Lord. If you do, just see us here at the altar. We'll pray with you.
Surrender. Give me
Forgive us when we take the passion that you've given us and channel it to the wrong places. Forgive us when our blood boils and it's not for hatred against the enemy and what he's doing to this kingdom of our God. Lord, give us the desire, Lord, that comes from you. And just look to you with expectancy. Teach us to pray. Teach us to get into the closet, to get into the zone. And teach us not to come out until we have a peace that is modeled to other people, that speaks volumes that never come from our mouth. Stability, confidence, competence, steadfastness, faithfulness, gratitude. All these things that we never even have to say, people look at us and see a strong man or a strong woman of God, because our faith and our trust is in you. And we take our petitions to you. And we give thanks no matter what situation we're in. We just give you thanks for it because we know that you're the only God that works everything together for our good. Everything. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. This past week, we gave away a tractor trailer load of food. Everybody showed up early. We were here at 7:15, 7:30, because last week, the truck came. What time? 7:15, 7:30. Everybody in the parking lot was just, well, what time is he going to be here today? Guess what time the truck arrived? 10 o'clock, 10:15. But you know what? I said to one guy, he said, man, this is taking a long time. I said, you know what? If that truck would have gotten here at 7:30 and you were on your way back to Edenton, what if there was an accident on the Choan River Bridge and you were in that? Because he got here when you wanted him to get here. But because he got here, what time? He said, on time? I said, right. He got here on time. And we just waited for 2.5 hours. 2.5 hours. We just waited. And you don't need to get mad. You need to get glad. Glad that he's in control. And I'm not. Amen. Give the Lord praise today, would you? Hallelujah. Have a great week. God bless you. Thank you for being here today. And be careful as you leave our parking lot heading home. God bless you all.